And I am intentionally redundant because most of the times our minds have been fed so many negative things until we have to keep hammering away at the false concepts with the truth until our individual consciousness accepts the truth and we are set free. I say, whatever good you want, get full of the feeling. If you want to be healthy, and you don't have to be sick to pray the prayer for health, if you want to be healthy all of your days in this dimension, in your consciousness, in your own mind, entertain the thought, the belief, the feeling of health. Get full of the feeling of health, and that will keep you healthy. It will heal you if you're sick.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 20 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West, and I'm your host today, and I'm super grateful that you're here with me and on board with today's episode. If you are a brand new listener, welcome to my show. If you are a returning listener or a regular listener, then welcome back. Today's episode, we are going to be focusing all on the psychology of mindset. I believe that mindset is a vital part of your life if you want to improve your health and well-being, and not just your health and well-being, all aspects of your life. If we can get the mindset right, if we can get clarity on what we want to achieve, where we're going with our life, what roadblocks in our head that we need to overcome, then we can move forward and get the best possible results with our health and well-being, and also with all other areas of our life as well. My guest today is Serena Simmons, and Serena is a psychologist and university lecturer. She lectures right here in my hometown of Nottingham in the United Kingdom at Nottingham Trent University, and she lectures in criminology. She has a degree in psychology and criminology, and she also works one-to-one with various clients, helping them to improve psychological aspects of their life. So she helps people that want to improve their career, that might be struggling with stress, relationship troubles, people with roadblocks in their life, people with addictions, a varying amount of clients from all different aspects and all different walks of life. She also is the creator and founder of the Ape Method, and she is going to fill us in with a little bit more information later in this podcast about what the Ape Method of psychology is all about. So I don't really want to waste any more time. I want to introduce Serena, bring her in and pick her brains all about the psychology of mindset. This is going to be a great episode, guys. I'm glad you're here and you're going to get loads of fantastic information out of today's episode. So let's get cracking with episode 20 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Hello, everyone. So I'm here today with Serena Simmons, psychology expert.
Hey, hello.
Amongst other things, I'm sure. How are you?
I'm good. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You brought the rain with you, haven't you?
I did. It is absolutely pouring. It hasn't for weeks, and now the sod's law.
Typical. Yeah. Typical. Okay, there's lots of questions I want to ask you, and I know obviously we've got time restraints. So let's get cracking and let's move on and get involved. But before we delving into these questions, can you just give the listeners and me a bit of a background story about you?
Oh, how long have you got?
Not long.
Yeah, I know. But
give me the brief backstory.
So I am a chartered psychologist here in the UK, and I have been working in the field of psychology for, I keep saying 22 years.
Wow.
I think it's actually longer now. I think I've been saying 22 years for the last 3 years, so quite a while. And I've done all kinds of things in psychology. So I've worked with people in the community. I've worked with people with autism. I've worked with people with brain injury. But for the longest time, I've worked in the forensic and criminal setting. So I work as a senior psychology lecturer in a university here in Nottingham. And my background in that work is in forensic mental health. But I also have my own business. And in that area, I work purely in positive psychology.
Perfect. That was quick. What was that? 90 seconds. That's the record. Okay. What I want to talk about in particular, because psychology is such a big area and we could go down five, six, a million different avenues. I want to primarily focus on mindset because in my line of work in the fitness industry and the health and wellness industry, I think it's a big problem with people that their minds aren't quite right. Their mind's not in it. The mindset isn't correct. So that's the area that I want to focus on today. Can you tell me, firstly, what mindset is and what your definition of mindset would be?
Yeah, it's funny because I had a feeling you were going to ask me this question. And I have come up with my own definition.
Perfect. Because I had a little look as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's hear yours.
There's a lot of bandied around. So mine is, it's a personal set of attitudes and beliefs that impact and affect how we think, feel and behave. So that's how I relate to mindset. So it's your paradigm of thinking and that impacts you obviously on a daily basis in any situation that you're in.
Perfect. Good, yeah. Good explanation. The first thing I want to talk about then is problems that people are having and why some of these mindset issues are occurring, what's going on in their heads, in their life. Why do you think people struggle with their mindset? What's some of the key factors?
Well, as I said, it's 'cause it's your set of attitudes and beliefs. Obviously, how you think and how you feel is classic psychology. It's informed by your past. And your brain is a little sponge and it takes on board everything that you've experienced and everything that's happened to you in your life. And it uses that as evidence going forward. So when people struggle with their mindset, it's usually because they've probably experienced more negative experiences or any experience that's informed their current choice.
Yeah.
And I think also, if I'm completely honest, I think even if you're a positive-minded individual, there's a tendency to go to the negative because as human beings, we're kind of hardwired to almost think negatively.
Yeah.
We kind of make things more difficult for ourselves and
look for
the challenge. Oh, yeah, that's a whole other podcast, the mindset of the British public. Yeah, so in other words, we have to work consciously to override that negative pattern and that negative way of thinking. And it absolutely can be done. But we're overriding, like, your whole life experience.
Yeah.
And I know it's psychology, kind of classic psychology, but it very often does root back to your parents and kind of your upbringing and how you were raised to be and raised to think.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff gets hardwired in, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. It really does get hardwired in. It becomes second nature kind of to behave and to act in a particular way. So it takes a conscious effort to think about what you're doing and override that so that you want to do, if you want to do something different or be different or behave differently.
Yeah, I understand.
So yeah, and it can be done. Absolutely can be done. So, you know, regardless of how negative you feel you are or how difficult something is, there is a different way of being.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Other than then those things that are hardwired in and what's happened in the past and happened maybe with the parents or in childhood, why else do people lack motivation, lack confidence, lack self-esteem?
So lacking motivation and self-esteem, they're a little bit different.
Okay.
So motivation is a funny one. I could literally do a whole podcast with you on motivation, okay. Actually.
We need a series here. We need a series.
Psychology series.
Yeah.
Motivation's a really funny one because I think most people wait to feel motivated. It should be a feeling. You should feel motivated. But motivation, you will never think yourself motivated. I mean, it might happen. You might read something and it really inspires you and kind of kickstart something. Or certainly in the sporting world, you might watch a video or, you know, how kind of gym memberships and people kind of playing tennis kind of go up around Wimbledon or around the Olympics. People kind of flock to the gym or they're kind of playing football in the park. Sometimes you can see things and experience things that kind of kickstart that motivation. But motivation, like I said, you won't think yourself motivated. Motivation comes from being an action. So to some degree, you have to override the thought processes around motivation and be in action. And that gives your brain that positive feedback loop. And that's kind of what you're after, to kind of feed your brain the right diet, which is actually being in action.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's motivation. What about confidence and self-esteem then?
I think, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah, yeah, confidence comes again from doing. You will never think yourself confident. You can do that to a degree, so I would always recommend kind of reading books or going to case studies or talking to other people that have done what you want to do to kind of boost your confidence, but really it only comes from being in action. So an example I would give there is very often people feel really daunted by giving a public talk I say public speaking sort of thing. It's people the second fear the
biggest fear after death, isn't it?
Apparently. I've yet to see a real piece of research on that, but apparently it is. But you won't think you're self-confident to give a talk. You just have to start doing small incremental actions towards your goal. Mm. And again, that's the feedback, that's a positive feedback loop for your brain that tells you you're not really going to die. It was really okay. You survived it. And actually, you may even enjoy it. So again, that positive feedback to prove to yourself, if you like, that it can be done.
Yeah. What's the kind of balance then between intrinsic and extrinsic influences?
Ooh,
a lot of the things you've said there are quite external things, like things that have happened in the past, the doing. But what about the intrinsic stuff as opposed to the extrinsic?
That's a really good question. I mean, it depends on what you're trying to achieve. So if I was working with a client, I would always look at those intrinsic factors. And the intrinsic would very much come from what they've experienced in the past. And can you think of any other way of relating to that? So kind of classic CBT would really kind of look at your thought patterns and how you think about that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm a really big believer in, it sounds so basic, but again, psychology isn't magic. People think it's like a magic pill, but things like mantras.
Yeah.
So what can you do to kind of intrinsically override
affirmations
kind of,
and stuff.
Affirmations. Yeah. So there's some of those basic things are really overlooked. And they shouldn't be, because they're so powerful.
They're massive.
And if you go to anyone that's been successful, I can tell you that most of them will have some kind of mantra.
I've got five that I say every day to myself.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can you share one?
I can share one. The first one is, right now I'm so happy and grateful that when I trust myself and follow my impulses, everyone wins.
Awesome. That's a good one. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start to then create your inner reality that becomes your outer reality. So that's a great one. So that becomes your intrinsic norm, if you like. So kind of overriding some of that negative thinking, those negative thought processes. And a lot of people in psychology, obviously we go back to your past a lot and look at what's happened. Sometimes just unlocking some of those patterns of behaviour and where they've come from can give you a big unlock.
Yeah.
So you can either go, ah, that's where that came from. And then you have a choice. And that then becomes your new intrinsic world. It's choice. It's a world of choice. Do I do this? And what's the payoff? What's the cost? Or can I choose to think and be different and think differently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you then encourage people to make that change then? Because it's one thing working on it and bringing something up like, oh yeah, I'm this way because, I don't know, I had a traumatic experience in my past. There's one thing bringing that up and such, and that person being aware of that. Mm-hmm. But then how do we influence and impact change other than like positive affirmations? We're going to come on to that in more detail in a bit, but I'm just, because we're on this path, I wanted to follow it.
Well, it's funny because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
I said this last night.
Really?
Yeah.
You're tying together.
Yeah.
The universe is providing that message.
That's it. I did an Instagram TV last night about people being addicted to suffering.
Oh, that's another podcast.
And I put in that about you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Totally. Yeah. You will never force someone.
They've got to want
to
do
it. They've got to really want it. And I think in the work I do, I often say that, you know, people can say they want to do something or achieve something or change something. Because I'm actually an expert, I would say, in change and helping people make a big change. That's what I do on a day-to-day basis. But they have to really want that change. Whereas what you find is most people say they want to change, but they are often the people that kind of wake up when they're 80 and go, oh, shit, I didn't do anything. I wish I had. And those people often are the kind of person that wait for what I call an external force to force them to make the change. So they either, like for someone who wants to leave their job, and that's very often the kind of group of people I work with, they wait for the threat of redundancy, the threat of being fired.
Yeah.
Someone who is fat and overweight will wait to be told you're going to die from a heart attack. You know, we wait for that external force to force.
Why?
Us.
Why do we wait? Because I've got a prime example. I've got a prime example of that. I had in somebody earlier, and in our induction processes, very different to other gyms, we do like what's called motivational interviewing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a question in there that says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to your goals?
Yeah,
and everyone's like 7, 8.
Yeah.
Very rarely we get someone, I'm a 10, let's do it. So always teetering between 7 and 9. Mm. And this guy I had in today was like, oh, I'm an 8. And I was like, okay, what would it take you to get to a 9 or a 10?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, if I went to the doctors and they told me something bad was going to happen. And I just don't understand this. But it comes across so many times. So whilst you're here, I want to know why this happened. Why people like this? Is it the way they're wired up or what?
Very much so. Again, we're hardwired to be this way. Some people have learnt to override it. So someone like that guy would probably look at someone who is motivated to come and think that that's just who they are. I am not that person. So their mindset is, I am a fat person who can't lose weight. But if I'm forced to do it, it's almost like you're before you're forced to do it, you're completely reliant on willpower and there's no such thing.
Yeah.
So it's actually, in my opinion, as a psychologist who's helped many people do this, it's literally a choice. You make the choice to be different. Change happens in an instant.
Yeah.
It happens instantaneously. But again, even in the work I do, someone could choose to do something immediately, but they don't. Human beings, they take a while to adapt to a pattern and a way of being. And again, it's that evidence, it's that feedback loop. I can be different. This can feel different. I can look different.
Yeah.
So up until that point of kind of being forced to make a change, it's who you relate, who you think you are in your head, who you relate as being in your head. So if someone's that fat, they're like, I am a fat person.
Yeah.
So we're kind of waiting for that force to force us to make that
change. So the thoughts and the words that you say to yourself are vitally important.
Vital, absolutely vital, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like someone who smokes. You know, some people identify as being a smoker, and it's one of the reasons it's so hard for them to stop, which is that I am a smoker.
Yeah.
Then
you're reinforcing that pattern, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah. But you give yourself enough action, you give yourself enough feedback via actual kind of behaviours that you are not and that can be different, and you start to think differently as well.
Does this tie in then with like the habits and making something habitual?
I think, like with in terms of what we're talking about, so many people rely and wait for feeling like they want to make a change, and they're reliant then on that willpower, which I said there's no such thing. You will never think yourself into a situation.
We've got to take action.
You need to almost take action before you think you're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's deep.
Yeah. I feel like we're going surface level, but it is deep. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so it'll be interesting if you sat with someone and kind of talked to them, like that guy, or like a smoker, or like someone that wants to make a change, and you talk to them about who they thought they were, the kind of language that...
Here's a question for you then, relating to that. How do you get around the... Because I've done this before. I've said to people, you need to start speaking positive to yourself. Yeah. I've said it to my nearest and dearest. And you got to start changing your words and the way you act. And one I hear a lot is, oh, I'm old and I'm not very well.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if you keep saying that, that's what you're going to be.
That's the truth, yeah.
But when you say to people like, oh, no, that's all airy-fairy rubbish, how do you get around that one when people are saying that to you?
So what do you mean, which bit's airy-fairy?
If you are what you say and you'll become what you think and you say. If I say that to some people, they're like, no, that's rubbish.
Then you can go and Google any case study where people have done what they want to achieve, and I can guarantee that their self-talk was positive. And it's a huge, it's not airy fairy, it's science.
Mm.
What you say, what you tell yourself becomes your truth. If you tell yourself you're old, you're right. You are. It's that simple.
Our brain
is so, so powerful. We have yet to really fully understand its capability. You know, we surprise ourselves every day in the world of kind of neuropsychology and science and
it's like the whole, you create your own reality, isn't
it? Absolutely. The power of your unconscious is phenomenal. Do not underestimate it. Do not underestimate it.
There's more to it.
It will be your truth. Whatever you tell yourself will become your truth.
There you go. Anything else is a lie.
Anything else is a lie. Anything else is the truth that you're choosing to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to be poor, and that's what you choose. I'm not saying that this is the same for everyone. We have circumstances that make it really difficult for us. We live in a physical world. It's not all airy-fairy and, you know, can't think a £100,000 check onto our mat like some books might tell you to
yeah.
do. You
yeah, know? Because that, but that all leads back to what you said earlier about the action. You can yes. you can think it. You could say, in 3 months, I'm going to make £100,000 or $1 million or whatever. Yeah. And you can think that, and it's when you start putting the action alongside the thoughts, isn't it, that
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Amen. Yeah, you've got to, you think the thoughts, but put it in action, and put it in action before you're ready. So anything is possible, but all of those things have to align. You have to actually physically go out there and do it. You can't just sit at home and think lovely thoughts about the house you want to live in or the body you want to have. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You have to actually have all of these things align. Your thoughts, behaviours, your actions must all align with who you truly want to be.
Love that. Brilliant. Hope people at home and listening to this, or wherever you are in your car, are taking notes. Don't take notes while you're driving.
Yeah,
sorry.
Don't do that.
Do that after. Okay. Let's say then we've got somebody that wants to improve their mindset, that they really want to make a change. They want to get this mindset of being more positive, of taking action. Let's relate it to fitness. They might want to lose weight or get fitter. What would be 3 to 5 action points you could give somebody that they can go out and start doing to really change their mindset?
So some of those things don't feel mindset related, but one of the first things I would say is have clear goals. So have very clear goals as to where you want to get to. Without that, you don't have a roadmap. It would be like getting in a car to go on holiday without having kind of booked your annual leave, packed your bags. Like, you don't know where you're headed. And as human beings, we kind of need to see and feel that progress. And it's often very much we see people feel unhappy when they don't have a goal in mind because they have got nothing to measure themselves by. They don't know.
The measurement's the important part as well, isn't
it?
I talk a lot about the kind of the whole SMART goals and smarter goals.
Yeah.
And I always think the measurement bit is the most important part, because if you're not tracking, then...
Well, it's meaningless. You don't know what you're comparing yourself to.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a really positive, again, I keep talking about feedback loops. We need that positive feedback loop to tell us that we're actually moving forward. And that's a psychological trick in itself, you know, just to show yourself that actually there's been movement in your action. So definitely have a goal, know where you want to get to. It doesn't mean that that goal is fixed, because as human beings, we naturally evolve and shift and change. So there's no reason why that goal isn't flexible. So, what you know, you might reach that goal and actually go, well, actually, something more is possible.
Mm.
By all means, evolve the goal, change it. It's dynamic, it has movement, you are in control of it. The other thing is to definitely surround yourself with people who are already achieving what you want to achieve, so that you're having those conversations that have a massive impact on your self-esteem, your positive mindset, what you believe is possible. So surround yourself with people who both are doing what you want to do, have achieved what you want to achieve, so that that becomes your norm.
Yeah.
And you start to enter a world of possibility that actually becomes something that's possible for you. You can see yourself as become part of that. And actually those people can become your cheerleaders. You know, you need to be having those conversations that are positive, that help you push yourself forward, that show you that this is possible, and that those people have a belief in you to do it as well.
Yeah.
So
almost like a support system and an accountability kind of
definitely.
System.
Definitely, yeah, and accountability is a really, really, really big thing, because again, well, it depends, actually that depends on your intrinsic and external kind of motivation quite a lot,
yeah.
as to how you're motivated. But yeah, definitely that accountability can play a huge part. The other thing I would say is just to think about, and I'm trying to pick 3 or 5 because there's so many things I could think of. But
just go
thing,
for more, you don't have to just do 3 or 5.
The other thing I would say is just to really try to relate to this, although it's might be your goal might be really serious, like is this something that you really want to achieve in terms of your body and how you feel, your health, try and approach it as best you can in a playful way. Adults become so serious, we become so serious about what we want to do that we forget to enjoy the process. And again, having done this work for so long, you know, if you take it too seriously, what can happen is you can reach that goal and it can become meaningless. It's like you've lost all enjoyment about the journey. It's like, I've done it now, well, what's next? It's all very serious and the enjoyment of the process is taken out of it. So what can you do to embrace this in a more playful way? These things impact your mindset, because you're committed to the goal, but you're not attached to it, which creates a very different way of relating to what you want to achieve. And that playfulness frees you up. So what can you do to approach this more playfully?
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a different way to look at it.
It is a different way. I'm a big believer in play. Play and having fun. Think about how you learn as a kid.
Me too. Right? This is weird what's happening here. Like you said earlier about the universe aligning and bringing us together and all that kind of jazz. What you mentioned about play, I posted a video this morning on Instagram of our circuit class this morning, warm up, and we played a game. And it was like a schoolyard game. And the faces and the happiness and the competitive element and all those things that are sucked out of us as we get older was all apparent with adults in the room having a laugh. And then they didn't see exercise as a chore. It makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. Play and having fun and not taking yourself too seriously is massive.
It's such a big one for me. It's really fundamental to all the work I do, is let's look at the fun in this. How can you enjoy it? Literally to play. Like, literally, be playful. Play games. Like, do what feels playful to you to take you out of that. We're very often kind of very stuck in a way of being and thinking. We take everything so seriously. But I think that just really helps create that positivity and that positive way of thinking.
Yeah.
Just one last thing, actually, I would mention that I think would be really careful about is just to take care of yourself. So self-care.
So yourself, mind, body and spirit.
That's the basis of the work I do, is mind, body, spirit. Absolutely. So how do you take
body
care of yourself?
Body can't function without the mind.
Absolutely.
Mind
right.
can't function without the spirit.
Yeah. So high five. Yeah.
I stole a couple of lines out of the Matrix there, but...
Yeah, okay.
I thought I'd got away with it, but I had to be honest.
Yeah, take care of yourself in the process. So what does self-care look like to you? Again, your goal is a serious one, but taking care of yourself on your journey to achieving it is vital. We, again, become so bogged down by the end goal. And I think we live in this society, I've got to say it, of, I hate this word, but hustling. And, you know, if you don't hustle, you're not going to get to where you want to be. And tips and hacks and strategies. And we live in a world that's on fast forward. And as I say in the work I do, doing things slowly, I think, is a superpower. Because slow means considered, it means reflective.
Yeah.
It means you've got time to do your best work. And if it means taking time out because you have a long-term goal, then take time out. You will get there as a healthier, more positive version of you if you do it that way. Not comparing yourself to someone else's year 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, take your time, do it in a way that feels right for you and you won't go wrong. Stop comparing.
It's interesting you should say that, because I was listening to a podcast yesterday or the day before. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Seth Godin or someone, and the interviewer asked him, if you could change anything in the world, what would you change? And he said, I'd want everyone to have more patience to slow down.
That's come at a good time for me to hear that too. I'm really embracing this idea of slow myself at the moment, because I used to equate slow to lazy back in the day.
But then again, that's going back to what we're saying about being preconditioned and being hardwired.
Totally.
We sometimes believe everything that we hear and that what we're told and what's told to us by our parents, and we don't make our own decisions but also do our own findings. And we've got time, so I might go down this avenue now, is going kind of what I'm starting to do now is a lot more of going within myself. So rather than being projecting whatever, I'm starting to find out, well, who's the real Ali West, who's the true Ali West. And I think people need to do that more. Have you got any thoughts on that, about people kind of going within themselves a bit more and finding themselves a bit more?
Again, just couldn't agree more with that. I think it's a lot to do with the fact that we live in a world where there's constant comparison, and comparing ourselves is so easy. We just have to get on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it might be. And so we're constantly surrounded by messages of comparison. We see people who are really successful in their business, if we're business owners. We see people with the perfect body if we're trying to achieve, you know, our version of a perfect body. And we're comparing our standards by their standards and how we look and feel with how someone else looks and feels, without really checking in with ourselves and reflecting about how we feel. Does it suit us? Does it fit into our lifestyle? Is this what we really want? Because, again, in the work I do, I see a lot of people who come and access work from me saying that they want to achieve X, Y, or Z, but actually when we take a step back and look at it properly, it's just, that's not achievable. It's not really their version of what they thought they wanted. They're just trying to kind of crowbar it into their life because it's, they think that's what they should be doing, or that's how their life should look, or they should have this much money. So definitely reflection and giving yourself time to reflect and stepping away from things like social media. It's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but not to constantly use it as your barometer about what you should be and who you should be. So yeah, take time out. What does that look like for you though? Is it that you literally meditate? Is it that you take time out? I know it's a bit cheesy, but to journal, just to kind of get in touch with who you are and what you want.
Yeah.
Just space from any input, external input, to truly reflect on who you are, what you want, and where you want to be. It's vital for your evolution.
That's great. Got my mind whirling.
Has it? Yeah, you've gone silent. I'm like wondering what's going on.
Embrace the silence.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I've got some good information there. Let's go on to then your personal kind of method and your methodology and, in inverted commas, systems. If I was to, let's say I was having some issues and I came to see you for a one-to-one session.
Yeah.
What's your process? What would you do with me? How would it look? What would go on?
So that's a, thank you for asking that question, that's a good one. So people come to me for all kinds of reasons. One of the main reasons they come to see me is they think something needs to change. Very often it's their job or career. It's something that we do for the majority of our lives. And what I do is, first of all, I would just get their version of what they think they want to change and look at how they think their life looks currently. But then my process, so my business is called Ape Model Psychology. And so I take them through the APE process, and A stands for acquisition or acquire, P is perform, and E is evolve. So we literally look at those three phases of being. What do we need to acquire in order to perform? What we need to do to get to where we want to be, and how do we evolve that process? So it's, for me, it's a really simple strategy. Anyone who wants to change anything can go through that process. And in each area, we look at different things in relation to what we need to acquire. So things like, what are your goals? What's your vision for your future self? Do you have the belief in your ability to achieve this? So we look at your underlying beliefs, your belief system. Do you have the knowledge and skills to get to where you think you want to be? So it's quite a practical model as well. Then we look at you being in performance mode, so actually doing the said thing that you want to do.
Taking the action.
Taking action, scheduling, and actually having an actual schedule to get there. And then and kind of a few more things around that, like self-care and well-being as part of the process. And then evolution is my favourite part. And that's usually when we've achieved a certain level of success already, then we can look at how we evolve that process. So we look at play, breaking your routine, connection, purpose, and other things. So very much kind of the model can be definitely undertaken by anyone doing anything, but I tailor it to you in a one-to-one and help people get to where they want to be.
Well, that's awesome. Let's talk about some results that you've had then with people.
Yeah.
If I said to you, what's the one or two best results you've had? And obviously don't mention any names,
no,
but just
I
give
can't.
Some examples and some stories
yeah.
of people you've helped. And the results you've got.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, so like I said, most people come, it's, I think the joy overall is a lot of people come because they feel something needs to change. And again, I think clarity is a word that is so overused. But you know that feeling when you just feel unhappy? Like you feel like, is this it? Is this all I'm going to live for the rest of my life? I'm going to just be doing this every day, day in, day out. So you're not necessarily like miserable, but you know something's irking you about where you're at. So the biggest joy in any work I do is helping people just get absolutely clear on what it is that needs to be changed. More often than not, it's career. And I think just a typical example of someone would be, I've helped many, many, many people transition from full-time employment into being self-employed. And
don't do it. I'm only joking.
Don't do it.
Do it.
I think often, because I'm in a really privileged position to talk to people about what they're really passionate about. So seeing, for example, one client who was a school teacher who was just really, really burnt out. I worked with her for a while. Really burnt out with what she was doing. She loved a lot of the job. And that's the trap with your career, is often it ticks a lot of boxes. You don't completely hate it. You maybe like the people that you work with, you like the salary, blah, blah. But she was really burnt out. She was doing some Pilates classes on the side. And when I started to work with her, her vision for her future, like, I get people to think really big, like, what would your kind of biggest vision look like?
Yeah, you've just brought up a key point there about, I was going to bring it up earlier when you said about goals.
Yeah.
And one thing to point out to the listeners is set your goals big.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
Because then I always think if you set them big, but you fall maybe short of them, you'll be surprised at what you've achieved because you've shot for that big one and you look back, oh, I didn't quite achieve it, but oh my God, look what I've achieved.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And that's something that I've done in the last couple of years, is just like, be ridiculously, not ridiculous, but set them really high.
Yeah, think about what does that, and like I said, for me, I look at vision first before goals because they're totally different. Yeah. So what's your vision for your future? Like, best case dream scenario, what would your life look like? And one of the things she said was, you know, her dream would be to own her own Pilates studio and be doing it full time, which she thought was totally off the charts ridiculous. She's now running her own beautiful studio.
Wow.
Full time, running a really successful business. So
there you go.
Yeah, you know, started with her in a really dark, different place, and now she's flourishing. So
dream, believe, yeah. Achieve.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Just nicking loads of...
Yeah, are you? You're plagiarising left, right, and centre.
Licking song lyrics now.
Where's that from?
I don't know. I must have heard it on a song or something. I'll take credit for it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
I'm probably going to get sued now. I don't know when someone listens to this. Okay, that's one good one. What else? Give me another really good result. Like something that you like. It's just... I mean, that's life-changing.
That is another life-changing. And
let's maybe talk more about, like, maybe more of a health-related one that you've maybe dealt with. I know, obviously, she was kind of burnt out and stuff, but have you dealt with someone that's like, I'd really like big health issues?
Well, I don't tend to. So if someone has a clinical issue, I always refer them on clinical work. But I actually get a lot of people, and I think you've had discussions around this before, a lot of people who are just stressed in general and feel quite unhappy in their life, and you can see the imbalance in their life, very often have massive issues around self-care and in particular sleep.
Yeah.
And it's funny, although...
And the other ones, the gut problems, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like digestive, because it's so like run down, and there's loads of issues that come from that.
Totally.
That's again another whole podcast.
It is, although like you said kind of a bit earlier on, mind, body, spirit, although I'm a psychologist, I do kind of coaching psychology, positive psychology work, I always ask my clients... I could get them to keep a diary for 3 weeks of their diet and their sleeping patterns. Now, some of them are like, well, why are you doing that? And it's so I have a holistic view of how you're living.
Yeah, I love that.
Because a lot of stress and kind of maladaptive behaviours in terms of thinking and stress levels come from just not having the basic building blocks right. If you've got crappy sleep and you're not eating properly, you know what? As part of the work we're doing, we need to address that. Because we can't ignore the fact that you need these things in place to function as a human being. And they massively affect your brain function. And that in turn impacts your mood, your motivation, your self-esteem, you know, your thought processes. So let's just get those building blocks in place. So I'm actually really proud to say I've helped several clients now completely revolutionise their sleep. And that's had a huge impact.
Massive.
And one woman said that she hadn't slept properly in 10 years.
Wow.
And then in just the work that we did together, I think it was just a combination of kind of looking at the stuff that was going on for her, as well as her sleep hygiene and kind of what she was doing. She came back kind of 3 weeks later, and she was just a different person. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What happened with the sleep? She's like, oh, I'm sleeping fine now. It was just like, it was so her norm in 3 weeks that she was kind of sleeping well, but it completely changed who she was.
That's amazing. So that's a big impact.
Huge, yeah. So no one should forget their sleep.
Yeah, and we've got a podcast on that as well, so you can listen to that.
Yeah.
And we've got one on hormones as well, so you can listen to that. I've got it all.
All here.
Okay. I know we've kind of covered this already, but I want to just, again, maybe bring it up and give the listeners something real solid that they can take away. So what would be 1 to 2 key takeaways for the listeners for them to do as soon as they've stopped listening to this? They've stopped it. They're going about their normal life, or they're about to go about their normal life. What could they do almost straight away to improve all of these things we spoke about? Because I know we started talking about mindset, but we've gone on to all different things. We've gone on to self-worth and happiness and all that. So,
but mindset is informed by all of those things.
Yeah, so what could they do straight away?
So the first thing I would say, so when they turn this off, I would, now that all this is kind of fresh in your head, one exercise that you could do straight away is just to sit quietly with a pen and paper or your laptop, whatever kind of is best for you, and to write out that vision for your future self. And to cover the key areas of your life. So don't ignore, I always say to someone, don't ignore all areas. You have to look at your life holistically.
Yeah.
So don't just think about it from a work perspective or, you know, health.
I know, a lot of people get bogged down with that, don't they? They think, I'll set goals, but I only set goals in one area, or I set a vision and I only set it in one area. You've got to do it for all areas, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to do it for business and financial, you've got to do it for relationships, you've got to do it for self-development, all of those areas.
And a really neat way of doing it that I always, because sometimes that just feels so big, you feel like you can't do it, like it's massive, how do I write down a vision for my life? So one really great way of doing it that I always do with my clients is what I call to write down a day in the life. So what you should do is just take time to write down what your perfect day would look like in your future. And I mean, go into detail. So again, this is getting your brain to really indulge in what this would even feel like. And I always say, start literally with when you wake up and describe what your bedroom looks like. Like, what does your bedroom look like? Where are you? So this is like your future house that you want to live in. So what does your bedroom look like? Where, you know, what do you wake up to? Who do you wake up to? You'll be surprised how many people just forget their partner and like they're not in their future vision, and that brings up a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So who do you wake up with? Then what does that typical day look like for you? Always make sure it's a working day and not a weekend, because a perfect day for someone might be a spa day or, you know, a day with the family and a barbecue. But I mean a typical working day. So what do you do next when you get out of bed? Do you go and get a coffee? What does your kitchen look like? How do you feel? What have you got planned that day? Who do you interact with? That simple exercise starts to give you a flavour of where you think you want to be in your future. Like, because you've got a flavour of the house you're in, you've got a flavour of who you're spending your time with and how you're spending your time. And that's a really simple way of getting an idea of kind of where you want to be, and then you can then start to break that down into goals and be more strategic.
I read a book, can't remember the book, it might come to me, but in the book the author did exactly what you just said, but he did it and he stuck the journal away that he wrote it in and never looked at it again. And then one day he'd moved to his dream house and his dream environment, and he took all these boxes, he was flicking through it all, dug out this journal that he'd put his perfect day in, he's wrote his perfect day in, and he read it back and he said he started crying because it was exact, like his life had happened exactly like what he'd put in that book and written down. So if that's not a proof of it, and if it's not powerful, then...
It's powerful.
Yeah,
becomes your reality, you're making it a reality. And one of the tiny thing I would want to say is just remember to play.
Okay. So write your vision down and play.
Remember to play. Remember, have it be playful. It's not, you know, it's a serious thing, but it can feel as serious as you want it to be. And all of these things help you start to create that positive mindset.
Love that. Perfect. Great way to finish.
Yay.
There we go. We're going to wrap it up. I've loved that.
Yeah, I have.
I feel like loads of other areas have come out of it that we could probably do again.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a series. Ooh. I'm liking the series idea. We might have to get some feedback off the listeners and see what they think about doing a series. But that was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks, Ali.
I need to come and have a session, I think, as well.
Yeah, nice one.
Let's do it. Okay, where do the listeners go to find out more about you?
They can go to apemodelpsychology.com. It's the best place to go. It's got all the social media links on there, loads of blog posts and resources.
apemodelpsychology.com.
Yeah.
Perfect. We always end every episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show with a favourite quote from my guest. And again, this can be one of your own. It can be something you live by, something that motivates you, something that inspires you. Hit us with your favourite quote.
That's the one thing you did warn me about. So I've been a real geek and I brought a book.
What's the book?
It's not a real quote, but it's something that really speaks to me. It's The 7 Brief Lessons of Physics by Carla Rovelli. And in this book, there's a little bit that is about Einstein. So Einstein's friend, Michel Besseau, died. And Einstein wrote to Michel's sister, and he, in the letter, he said this, and this is my favourite quote. "Michel has left this strange world a little before me. This means nothing. People like us who believe in physics know that the distinction made between past, present and future is nothing more than a persistent, stubborn illusion." And I think it's a good reminder that this is all an illusion at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we should enjoy it.
That's brilliant. Love that. You'll have to send that one to me.
Yeah,
I like that. I might even read that book.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
That's another thing. You've just brought up another thing there as well. I watched a TED talk the other day about time and... Yeah, that's another
I'm
topic.
I'm a physicist in my other life, I think. I just love it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
I think we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. That was brilliant. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I know you're a very busy lady. So I appreciate you taking your time out to speak to us and share your knowledge.
You're welcome.
And
thanks
wisdom.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Pleasure.
There you have it. That's a wrap on episode 20 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Really enjoyed that episode once again. Thoroughly enjoyed speaking to Serena and picking her brains on the psychology of mindset. Hope you guys listening in took on board lots of useful information from today's episode. And if you need any more help, do not hesitate to get in touch with me. You can contact me directly on Instagram by sending me a direct message. I have actually changed my Instagram handle, just to point that out. It's Ali West Fitness. That's Ali, A-L-I, West, W-E-S-T, and Fitness, F-I-T-N-E-S-S. All the links will be in the description of this podcast, so you can go on there if you forget and find out how you can get in touch with me. Send me an email, send me a direct message, or head over to kineticfitness.co.uk to get in touch with me if you need any further help. I have also recently just launched my online coaching packages. So if you feel like you need a bit of extra help, if you need planning, if you need accountability, if you need nutritional advice, just head over to my shop. The link again is in the description of this podcast, or you can find it in the link on my bio on Instagram. Head over there. Take a look at my coaching packages and do get in touch if you need any further help and if you want to enroll on one of my coaching packages. I can help take you to the next level, take your fitness to the next level, and help you to live that longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. That's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please, please like, share, and subscribe and tell your friends about the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. And if you haven't left me a review, please leave me a review, especially if you are listening to this on iTunes. Just hit me up with a short review, a long review, whichever you prefer. Tell me how you're finding the podcast. Give the feedback and let other people know how great it is and how much you're enjoying it. And then we can grow together and we can help more people to live longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful lives. That's a wrap. That's it for today's episode, episode number 20. Next week's episode will be carrying on with the theme of psychology, and we're going to be talking about the psychology of worry and how you can eliminate worrying from your life. You can stop it dead and move forward and live your best life possible. That's Ali West for the Kinetic Fitness Show, signing out. Have a great week. Peace and love.